All right, so it used to be when I was growing up, you got the TV guide, and if you missed something on TV, that was it. You probably weren't going to see it again unless, you know, a year later they happened to re-air it. But most things you simply missed.
Ancient
clearly,
time.
Right. Clearly,
pyramids.
Those days are over. Netflix allows us to watch movies instantly.
Sure.
We've got gaming consoles that are turning into home entertainment systems. TiVo seems old school to everyone, right? That's an old technology.
It's ancient.
Things are changing, and there's a couple big things happening in terms of TV where they interact with movies and how that could change the film industry.
I could have a movie premiere in my house.
You could.
Fact, I could.
And you could charge your kids $20 for a thing of popcorn.
Have a red carpet.
Brian Stelter is a media reporter with the New York Times, and Jenny Miller joins us. She's a freelance pop culture reporter whose work regularly appears on Cinematical.com and in Bust Magazine. Good morning to both of you.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Brian, first, explain to us these two big new developments in the terms of on-demand entertainment, one involving Comcast, the other involves the FCC.
The cable show is going on right now in Los Angeles. It's this annual event with all the cable companies, and Comcast announced this week they're more than quadrupling the number of films that they're going to make available on demand. They're going to more than 10,000 films watching we can all watch from the couch. But that's really just an increase in the numbers.
But Brian, let's just be clear: they're going to make them available in first run. So they're available on.
Some
of these are new, some of these are old. This will include something like The Hurt Locker, which won the Oscar last year, but it could also be some movies from decades ago.
Right.
I think the more interesting development that's a little bit farther down the road, but we can kind of start to see on the horizon now, is the FCC deciding to encourage studios to release films the same day they come out in theaters. And they did this by announcing that they're going to block the ability for you to copy a movie at home. So, in other words, the studios are worried about you being able to copy a film when you're watching it on your set-top box in your living room. Now that they can control that copying mechanism, hopefully they'll be more willing to release a movie the same day it comes out in theaters.
Okay, let's make sure that this is totally clear what's going on, is that the FCC wants movie companies to not only release films in the traditional movie theaters, but make them available to somebody who's sitting at home. The way they're doing that is by allowing them to use technology, which helps them kind of sort of scramble the thing so you can't make a copy of this new release film. But why does the FCC want this?
Well, there's a number of reasons that the movie industry pushes this. For instance, people with disabilities that have a hard time getting to the movie theater and aren't able to see them, perhaps, as soon as they premiere. But there's a new window developing here. The bottom line here is that the studios believe they can make more money if, in addition to seeing it in the movie theater, you can also pay, say, $10 to make up a number and watch from the comfort of your own home. Obviously, movie theater providers, though operators, are not thrilled about this, but it seems like we're moving in this direction just like all of the media industry is moving toward on-demand.
Okay, so Jenny Miller, this sounds to me like something which is designed to totally kill our local movie theaters. If you have to spend, for a family of four, my family, it's going to cost me more than $50 to go to a movie theater, but I do it because I want to go see the new movies. I'm not going to do that if I can watch it for $20 at home.
Well, I think movie going is a communal experience, and for many people, they want to see a movie in the theater. They want that experience with strangers to laugh, to cry, to experience that in a dark room, and there are people who won't give that up. At the same time, there are people who have home setups that make it unnecessary for them to deal with some of the hassles of going to see a movie in the theater, and theaters don't really go out of their way to make it a more pleasant experience. I think I don't really see studios releasing their tentpole movies, their summer blockbusters, the day and date that they're premiering anytime soon, but
to get rid of those lines, those like Star Wars lines, the guys in the trench coats that wait for like
they'll
3 days to get tickets.
There.
No, they'll just
they'll
be downloading it to their screens.
But they'll go. They'll
no,
totally
they'll go.
Go.
To the, I totally yeah. think they'll go to the movie theater.
They'll
but what
wait in line
do,
and watch it on the laptop.
What does this do for the film industry? How does it affect, say, the big movie industry companies as opposed to, say, an independent filmmaker?
Well, what's really interesting about independent filmmaking right now in the on-demand model is that they've seen enormous success with this, especially because there are so many places where you can't go see the newest obscure film, and people want to be part of the cultural dialogue. They want to talk about movies with their favorite writers or what they've read on Twitter. And someplace like IFC putting their stuff on demand, that is really allows them to become part of that cultural dialogue. So I think, you know, large studios would do well to look to that model.
Okay, Brian, Jenny Miller is talking about how this could help, even more help, independent filmmakers, but is it going to make big budget movies not economically possible?
I think, you know, there's always going to be room for Avatar, because the big movies, the big budget movies, are the ones that also have the biggest payoffs for the studios. Rupert Murdoch cannot find enough time in his day to count his money from Avatar, I think, from the last holiday season. But I think we will see experiments like this, more and more experiments like this over time. They're not going to kill the golden goose here, but they are going to try these new windows for movie releases, because that traditional, well, I say traditional, the last 10 years, that traditional window for monetizing movies, DVDs, is starting to shrink. People aren't as willing as they used to buy DVDs in bulk at the Walmarts and the Targets, and so they need to come up with a new model for people renting movies or buying movies, and I think doing it at home on the couch with a remote control is going to be a way to do that.
But it's not about the object. That's what these media companies don't get right, and as Jenny was saying, it's much more about buying a community experience, a communal sort of shared experience of we like these movies. The music industry has thrived on this, even though the big dollars in sort of hit makers, that business model has gone away, Brian. I mean, that's what's going on here.
I think I'd also want the movie theaters then to try a little harder to keep me in my seat and make it a little more pleasant when I'm there in that case, though.
And maybe a little less expensive. The other thing, Brian, we don't have a lot of time left, but the other thing that's kind of interesting in all this is the way that game box console makers are trying to get involved by turning that console for their game into a portal into movies and all kinds of other stuff.
That's right. And this is fascinating. You can get Netflix or your Xbox or your PlayStation. You can get sporting events now. You can sign up for Major League Baseball games through your PlayStation. They see another way here to tap into the idea that the people want things on demand. They want things straight to their television via the internet. And whether it's a game console maker or a cable company, they don't want to be cut out of that picture going forward.
Okay, so it's kind of the Burger King model of media delivery. Any way I want it. Brian Stelter, media reporter with the New York Times, and Jenny Miller is a freelance pop culture reporter, writes for Cinematical.com and Bus Magazine.
Jenny, before we go, can they do 4D in movie theaters?
4D? Not yet.
Even bigger glasses? Speaking of movies, on the show tomorrow, we talk about the star and the director. Yeah, a best worst movie. That's on the show tomorrow. It's a documentary about the lowest rated movie probably ever. We want to know what bad movies do you love the most? Give us your story at 877-8-MY-TAKE. We're also continuing a conversation that we began online. Actually, it began in America, you know, about 150 years ago. A third of Americans are open to the idea of a third party. What would you call it, and what's its platform? Give us your take at 877-8-MY-TAKE or post to our site, thetakeaway.org. I'm John Hockenberry.
And I'm Celeste Headley. This is The Takeaway.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.